The Movie of the Week. Presenting the world premiere of an original motion picture produced especially for ABC. Tonight on The Movie of the Week. A ghost town. A man. A chance for people to be what they've never been. Brian Keith.
You don't look anything like a teacher to me.
Juliet Prowse.
I just don't want anybody to call me an ex-con again, ever.
William Wyndham. Second Chance. ABC presents The Movie of the Week.
Ah, the drama. Good morning, I am Hank Jones. You are listening to College Football with Hank Jones and Avid Mike. This is week 13. It was not as much drama on the field as there was off, but I got to bring in Mike right now. Let's forget all the pre-announcements and stuff.
How you doing, sir?
Good morning. Good morning. How are you? I had a dream. I used that movie theme for a show back when Burt Bacharach died because it was, you know, movie of the week. He composed it or whatever. And I just the Hawkeye stuff was enough drama, but I just love, well, we'll get right to it. So this week, Alabama was brought up by the CFP committee, jumped up several spots after beating Merciless Mercer.
Yep.
they go to the biggest disappointing turd of the SEC this year, Oklahoma, and get absolutely.
Yep.
They looked worse than we did at both UCLA and Michigan State combined. Go on, your next one.
Oh, I was just going to say ESPN got the rhetoric going, projecting the top 25. Where does three-loss Alabama land? They shouldn't even land anywhere in the vicinity of the playoffs. I mean, come on.
Exactly.
This is ridiculous.
Exactly. And Ole Miss, too. And well, I guess Lane Kiffin in his press conference was, like, almost crying or something. let's not immunize the Big Ten here. Kurt Cignetti said yesterday after they lost it, Indiana is definitely playoff worthy. I don't necessarily disagree, but after getting beat 38-15 is probably not the time to get into a press conference and say that. I mean, I don't know if you were even alive, if you remember when Larry Holmes lost to Michael Spinks, and frankly, he probably shouldn't have and all that. But remember, he said later on in his press conference when they talked about, are you sad you didn't get Marciano? He goes, Marciano couldn't carry my jockstrap, you know? True or false, that was not – but you don't say that after taking a loss. You just don't. So so Ole Miss goes down. Bama goes down. BYU goes down for the second week in a row. Colorado goes down. At least Dion had somewhat of a normal reaction. I mean, the rest of them are like, you know, well, we still belong in the playoff, or we, by God, we should have won that game. But for 24 points here or there, Dion actually just said we were, you know, I forgot what his words were. We got intoxicated with success. You know,
Texas A&M went down last night also to Auburn. So,
yeah. And Auburn is coming. Who knows? Coming up this week, on the national scene, so to speak, you got Ole Miss and Mississippi State in the Egg Bowl. I doubt that's much of a, Memphis, Tulane, both 9-2, and that's actually something in the American. Oregon State, Boise State. Oregon State isn't that good, and Boise State, you know, it's in Boise. Oklahoma State, boy, they turned out to be a disappointment, along with not as much as Kansas, I mean, more so than Kansas State, but they go to Colorado. That's probably a Mississippi State. Here's one that won't be as much of a blow-off as it has been in years past. Georgia Tech at Georgia.
Georgia, we were joking about it yesterday. Georgia was struggling with UMass, you know, and their, you know, their tune-up game. And now they got to play Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech's a good team.
Yeah, they are. They are a good team. You know, the ACC's not as bad as advertised. The problem was that, you know, Clemson, Miami have taken losses. Florida State didn't turn out. But, you know, SMU leading the ACC right now.
They won it. They won it last yesterday. They won it in their inaugural season in the ACC, yes.
So are they playing Miami or Clemson in the championship game?
I'm not sure. I just saw the headline saying that they, you know, won their in their inaugural season. They won it. So I don't know if that's just, you know, a chance to go to, you know, to the ACC championship or they're the regular season champions. I don't know how they do theirs. I haven't really looked that closely.
Yeah. Iowa State, Kansas State, Arizona State, although Arizona State is clearly better. That's a rivalry game. So it's at Arizona. But Kansas State at Iowa State, boy, I mean, Iowa State's suddenly back in the mix, you know, for that,
yep.
for their championship game. Tennessee, Vanderbilt, you know, 3 weeks ago, five weeks ago, you'd have said, you know, South Carolina, Clemson's going to be an excellent game.
Yep.
Disappointments, Auburn, Alabama, Miami, Syracuse. Again, Miami's got to go to Syracuse. Syracuse is 8-3. They're a good team. Kyle McCord is a good quarterback. Actually has better stats than Cam Ward. I shouldn't say across the board, but has more yards. Cal goes to SMU. Arkansas, Missouri won't be a pushover either way. Texas, Texas A&M. Bloom is off that rose after yesterday, but, you know. So, yeah, there's some good – outside the Big Ten, there are some good games this week, this coming week. So, within the Big Ten, you know, of course, there's disappointments. You wanted Utah to beat Iowa State, I know. And then Army. Our Army losing isn't so much that they lost. It's the same way Navy lost to Notre Dame. I think it makes Notre Dame look better than they actually are.
Mm-hmm.
And that game was in South Bend. Now, Notre Dame does go to USC. I didn't bring it up earlier because it's a Big Ten game. But, boy, this is like the first time in a while that I really want USC to win. So you know, that's kind of disappointing. But, you know, I mean, Army-Navy would have been great if those were two undefeateds playing. But we can't have nice things.
It's a classic for that.
Yeah, exactly. In the Big Ten, no major. I mean, I wouldn't call Indiana Ohio State. You know, I mean, it was a 3-score game at the end, but Indiana was acquitting themselves well through the first half. They just, you know, you run into Ohio State and Columbus. You know,
yeah.
I mean, this now that Michigan's bowl eligible, this might be the first time since they got really they're not struggling. This might be the first time in what 10 years that the Michigan Ohio State game is. For the most part, absolutely meaningless. All they're really playing for is to knock Ohio State out of a playoff spot.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, it is. It's, you know, after the drama of the last, 3 years with them winning the way they had against Ohio State, this is like just a complete, like, whatever. You know, it is. Really, it's what I feel about it. It's like, yeah, it's the game, as everybody calls it, but there's just, other than watching to see if Ohio State doesn't choke because it's a big, you know, to Michigan, it's a big game and they've had that, you know, the issue the last few years, especially with, you know, with Day being the coach, that's the only drama in it is if he's going to actually win it or is he going to choke again?
Well, and here's the thing, Oregon, Ohio State in Indianapolis, sorry, Oregon, I don't give you much shot there, especially after the way, you know, they won, you know, with that intentional penalty and all that stuff. I don't give them as much. I look at, you know, serious payback there. You know, Indiana maybe comes out of this winning in a sense more because they don't, you know, they don't tiebreaker wise and all that. They are out of the Big Ten championship game, presumably. So that puts them in a driver's seat for a playoff spot, assuming they could take care of Purdue. So that's going to, there were really nothing surprising. I mean, Illinois coming back against Rutgers was minor. Penn State, having a tough time with Minnesota, but it's in Minnesota, so that's, that's hard to say that there was anything surprising really there. I mean, I don't think. I mean, did anything jump at it from Big Ten point yesterday? Michigan destroyed Northwestern.
Just to kind of piggyback on that, that Penn State-Minnesota game, it's just, I don't know, was it Minnesota played really well, or is Penn State just a very streaky team? They'll have big games, but when it comes to, if they have to kind of power through a game, I guess, it's just, I don't know. So, I didn't see anything stellar about, the Penn State game. I mean, the defense wasn't great.
Flip a thing or two, for 2 points. So take 2 points from Minnesota and, that game could have been, it could have been different, but still, Michigan State is playing for bowl eligibility next week. So there is that. They're playing for bowl eligibility. And who are they? Are they playing at Rutgers, I think? I think they are. And boy, that sure has, Rutgers.
You're only playing at home.
Both of them. So Rutgers is bowl eligible. That's kind of, Michigan State's got to win. So, Jonathan Smith in his first year. I mean, that wouldn't be a great year for him, but it would really be solid. Penn State, Maryland. I mean, we know what Maryland is. I mean, UCLA Fresno State. So that's a non-conference game this late in this, and Notre Dame USC, which obviously was the Washington going into Oregon. I don't expect much there. I mean, I would be shocked. Now we have two Big Ten games on Black Friday. We've got Minnesota Wisconsin at noon, and then we take on Nebraska at 7:30. And I'm not at all, Nebraska stormed the field yesterday.
I know.
And you know what? I was going to say, typical, but it's their first bowl eligibility since 2016. We stormed the field against Ohio State in 2017 in a game that took our record to 6-3. Yes, it was a beatdown, and we don't see those very often, but still, it made us 6-3, and we ended that season, regular season, 7-5. So I'm not going to get on Nebraska fans too much. Oklahoma storming the field early, and they had to clear the field. but it's against Bama, so there's something sweet about that. I can't get mad at that, So, we got some good games this week. So let's talk about yesterday. In State College. No, what is it? College Park, Maryland, I think. In Maryland. What did you – special teams, what did you see from special teams that stood out one way or the other?
It's just going to come down to Stevens. I think, we've had our kind of – we love him. We're like, is he the guy? Because he's missed some big kicks. And, and made some easy ones, the easy ones, but to come in a really windy situation like it was yesterday in the stadium, to hit five of them, and then to get that great tackle at the end of the game on kickoff, that's to me. I think we have that kicker we can really count on now. We all in the back of our head thought it, but we just hadn't seen it come to fruition when it came to some, big kicks. So I feel like the kicking game is there, and Reese Dakin didn't really have to call on him. He kicked it three times, two inside the 20, lower average at like almost 45 yards per kick. But, he wasn't asked to win the game for us. I'm sorry.
No, he wasn't. Drew Stevens, I mean, the only kicks he's really missed this year have been from 50 yards or out, I believe, right? I don't think he's missed anything inside 50 yards.
But you had two of them that were 54 yesterday, which is what has been kind of – he tied as long, but I think he had – he was like 1 for 3 or 1 for 4 with kicks that long. So that's, you know, just the combination of two 50-plus yarders and then being
he had
windy.
He had a 57-yarder nullified by a penalty at UCLA. He had a 56-yarder that hit high the goalpost. So, I mean, he hasn't exactly it hasn't been a matter of leg. And last year they talked about he was injured. I mean, he was just, you know, your leg does get sore, and you know, you do, you know. But yeah, the tackle on the kickoff, he's just I think he's very, very solid. I think he's a junior, so he's back for another year because kickers don't go early. Unless you're someone like Sebastian Janikowski, but
I think he was asked to leave early.
Speaking of which, did Florida State win yesterday?
Yeah, they did. Charleston College wasn't that they played. So I mean, it wasn't a gimme for them by any stretch.
Charleston? Yeah, it was Charleston. No, it was Charleston Southern, who was 1-11.
There we go, Charleston Southern. I'm sorry.
Seth Anderson didn't come from Charleston Southern. He came from College of Charleston or whatever they call it now, right?
Yeah, Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Florida State is now 2-9. So they are.
Who would have thought that?
Yeah. But 41-7. I mean, I think that's a bit point through the year. From, you know, by the way, Pitt lost again yesterday, so they've lost four in a
and
row.
Bad.
Yeah, so they're just not. You know, Louisville is they're both now 7-4. So that's, you know, Brome. I don't mind Brome failing a little bit. I feel bad for Narduzzi because they started strong and they were really looking good, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is what it is. But so back to our game. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have. I think now that Weechen has, you know, two different returns, one called back, of course, beginning. But I mean, now that he's had two touchdown returns or a legit touchdown return, the kit teams are going to game plan that. They're going to kick away from him.
They're not going to kick into him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty much. You know, I think he had one or two return. He had that one where he got face masked, but basically, other than that, everything is a fair catch. I mean, he's just not. You know, he's not going to see. He's not going to see many lanes. I mean, there's only so much game planning you can do to free your returners on that. So I don't think we should plan on. You know, except against Nebraska, where anything can happen. But no, I mean, our special teams looks good. We did not give up any big returns. We did not have any, you know, fumbled snaps, nothing like that. I mean, it wasn't – when I say wasn't outstanding, Drew Stevens was certainly outstanding. I mean, 5 of 5, 2 over 50 yards, another one that was like 48, I think, or 49. I mean, pretty hard to argue with that kind of performance. He still has not missed an extra point this year, correct?
Right. Yep.
I'm pretty sure he has not missed an extra point this year. So, I mean, special teams, like I said, we're not going to – Nebraska is going
to
be really stupid.
They did nothing to hurt us. You know, they did nothing that was going to – yeah.
Yeah. It'll kind of depend what will happen wind-wise and stuff for a punting game. But beyond that, you know, you can't You can't. It's not something you're worried about going into the game against Nebraska. Let's put it that way.
100%.
Defensively, anything jump out at you or?
It's what we were expecting. I don't want to say hoping. Having a bye week. Kind of a bounce back is what we figured was going to happen. It's happened, you know, after all the bye weeks this year. You know, after the Michigan State game, we came back and we looked gangbusters the next game against Washington, you know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the defense, you know, did what it was supposed to and doing it with shorthanded without, you know, Harrison there. I mean, TJ Hall had his penalty like he always does, but then he redeemed himself on a hell of a interception, that one-armed interception that he had. So,
and frankly, that penalty wasn't a catchable pass. The receiver was pushing off as much as T.J. Hall was pushing back. You know, that's the thing. Defensive backs are at a disadvantage right now. That said, I'm not saying that's the reason T.J. Hall's had his issues this year, but it was nice to see him have that interception yesterday. It really was.
You could see it in his face when he was on the sideline. He just did it was like something that really helped him with his confidence too. And really, they didn't do much after that interception, you know, on his side. So because they kept going to, I think, Deshaun Lee with the two touchdowns that they ended up getting.
Yeah, their first touchdown drive kind of bothered me. It felt like it was like all of a sudden they had solved our defense. I think it was more a matter of they did a few different things that we hadn't seen all game. But they used Hemby out of the backfield a little more too. And he's a good back, by the way, Roman Hemby. He's not Kyle Manungai or obviously Caleb Johnson, but he's a damn good back. I mean, he's been a good back for them for the last couple of years. But yeah, we gave up two touchdown drives, but you're doing it on the road.
True.
You know, we stopped their 2-point conversion, which, you know, in a sense kept us and gave us a little more breathing room. It, you know, made them have to get a touchdown on any subsequent, you know, that kind of thing. So, they came back and, you know, Jay Higgins' interception, which, you know, you can chalk up as much to the D line as anything, but still.
Master Llewellyn blew him up on that play.
Yeah. And Jay Higgins, I mean, he doesn't have the tackle numbers, I don't think, that he had last year. He still has huge numbers, but, you know, we saw yesterday he was one. I thought it said one, three or something. Now the only, I'm pretty sure.
He's the only player in the country at that point when they put the stat up with 90-plus tackles and 3 interceptions. And now he's only player with over 100 tackles and 4 interceptions.
And he might be one of few that's ever done it. And maybe Jack Campbell, I don't know. But, he hasn't had the – he hasn't gotten the star look and the coverage that Jack Campbell got. But I got to tell you, anybody that said, you know, and I said it at the beginning when Jack Campbell left, I said, don't get me wrong, we'll miss him, but the drop-off isn't going to be what you think, and it hasn't been. And you can attribute that as much to Nick Jackson Nick Jackson, you know, Jay Higgins hasn't had to do it by himself. Let's not kid ourselves. He's great linebacker, right? One of my favorite ever. And I interacted with Roy, his dad, this morning, in fact, and, you know, said, you know, your son is in exclusive, and then I said very exclusive territory, you know, great game and everything, but and he's always one that answers back and everything, but I mean, it's so good to see his reward for sticking it out, for never thinking about leaving, for never he truly is. I mean, he's just and I think as much as anything, it's that he's a smart player, you know. And Nick Jackson is
the same way. His limitations is he's always going to put himself in a good spot.
Yeah, exactly. I'm really, the defense acquitted themselves. I wouldn't say acquitted. They certainly didn't hurt themselves yesterday. I didn't see really any stupid mistakes. Their first touchdown was a little bit of miscommunications, which, by the way, teams will do that to you. That's you know, you cross your receivers and stuff. That's designed to do that.
Yeah, but that's, you know, and I made this comment when we were watching yesterday. It's been a glaring problem with our defense with that switching or, you know, handing off a wide receiver, because we've seen it multiple times. And it's always been from Castro handing off the person he is covering to either Schulte or Wampa. The safeties are sometimes just not as – what we've had in the past, that safety that's observant and can just it's a seamless handoff. So it's just something that's glared to me, being something that's happened multiple times, not just once in a while. It's happened, and it's always been a scoring driver, a big play. You know, you can go back to the Iowa State game. That was a handoff of the wide receiver to the safety from Castro that just didn't get any coverage. So, I mean, it's been very crucial points usually.
Yeah, which here's a question. I haven't thought about it, but as you mention it, I wonder if we'll continue to see a lot of cash, you know, the 4-2 type stuff, or if we're going to go back to, let's put it this way, a guy that's been playing traditional safety or corner that moves to cash is suddenly changed, you know, it's changing his dynamic. Are we going to recruit differently down the road, you think, or you think we're just going to find these guys that.
I think that's Norm's, Phil's spot, that he has always a player in mind, either from recruiting or somebody he's seen in practice that has kind of evolved into that. I don't think they recruited Sebastian Castro to be that position, or Hooker, or Geno Stone, or, you know, any of the ones that have played it really well. Even originally, that was supposed to be Cooper's spot, you know, but he was thrust into playing corner and really blossomed there. So I think it's more of he sees somebody in practice that he kind of earmarks as, you know, I see the qualities that I need from you in that spot. So I don't think it's a we're going to go out and target specific players because they can do X, Y, and Z for the play in position. It's more of, you know, Phil going, all right, I got a feel that you can do this. This is what we're going to ask you to do. And then, you know, that's how it evolves with him. And I don't think it's going away anytime soon just because of the landscape of the Big Ten now being more of a, you know, all the teams that are doing not air raid, but more of a spread offense with, you know, with the passing game that you need. You can't have the traditional, you know, 4-3 the way that, you know, he would love to run it. So,
Yeah, I think it makes a good point. It just seems to me that there's been more confusion, and part of it has been, you know, you have a guy that's been playing safety. I mean, was Castro playing corner before?
He was playing safety.
Yeah.
Because remember when at the UCLA game, when Higgins went out and it was Castro going to safety and then, you know, they were bringing a linebacker in. They kept shuffling in, the way they were doing it. So,
it's just interesting to me that cash position, and part of it is inexperience, you know, throughout the depth chart, not just one guy. I guess I put it on one guy, and that's not really the way to look at that. What about the offense yesterday?
Well, I mean, we knew what it was going to be because of the situation that the offense was put in with the quarterback situation. You know, we won't even go into the drama of earlier in the week yet. We'll save that for a little bit later. But just, you know, knowing that Jackson Stratton was going to be the quarterback really early in the week, you had to figure that they were going to really lean heavily on the running game. And I mean, what, 58 carries we had yesterday? 57, I'm sorry. In the game, so you knew that was going to happen. So I guess you have to just look at it as the offensive line has really turned a corner, and they were playing shorthanded because Jennings was out. Dunker was out, and you had DeJong playing in his place, who's a good, like, I would call him journeyman. You know, he's not like any great in any one position, but he's, you know, admirable in his ability that, you know, he goes out there and tries. So and having that situation and still to run for almost 300 yards, you know, 273, I guess the team was only given up 100 yards a game, you know, and
take
you
away,
could
you
tell
you
they were concentrating
the negative,
on it.
You take away the negative 11. I mean, we rushed for 280. You take away plus that stupid reverse to Jacob Gill. Why? If we
your
could
favorite
just,
play.
Oh, God. We ran it once with Terrell Washington, although that was a little different. But, I mean, you take away our I mean, really, we rushed for close to 290 yards. Kind of hard to.
That was the highest carry game since 2000. Did they say 2016 or 2017? It was, I think. You know, so that tells you how weird the offense has been the last few years, too. Just that, you know, we haven't had the backfield, you know, we've had more home run hits, you know, maybe. I don't know. It's just, it was kind of a surprise to see that it's been that long since we had that many carries.
It was also a surprise to see Kamari Moulton be the one that broke the long home run ball, but not that I care, but, you know, I mean, it's, I guess what surprised me.
To, to Sid when we were sitting there watching it yesterday, and I go, they're going to break a big one. I think Caleb's going to get a 50-plus yarder, you know, because it's just there. You can see it. They were so close so many times in that third quarter.
Yeah.
And then Kamari. But, you know, the thing that really impressed me about that was Kamari's got some wheels. He pulled away, and the only time they caught him was when he knew he was safe. You know, he kind of throttled down. It was just nice to see that with probably not going to have Johnson next year, that the running back room is fine, you know, for the future.
Yeah. I mean, I would think Caleb would be going, but I don't use it as a given at this point because,
we don't know, but at least we know he is gone.
But I mean, but with NIL money and all that kind of stuff, I mean, you just wonder. The good news, Jackson Stratton had a higher QBR than either of Maryland's quarterbacks. No turnovers. You know, he didn't have it. We did have a turnover, but he had no turnovers. 10 of 14, you know, nothing big yardage-wise, but 10 of 14 with no turnovers, no fumbles, you can't argue that. I guess what surprised me.
They used him the way they needed to. They didn't ask him to do anything that, you know, put him in a bad situation. But what I loved about it was his decisiveness on his reads. There was one play they showed the replay of it where he steps back, looked, and then quickly checked down to, I think it was Caleb, for a pass, and we got like 12 yards out of it. And it was just like boom, boom, and it went. So there was – and nothing was even close to an interception, you know. So it was just kind of what we looked for in a quarterback, somebody that surveys, decides, you know, and not overthinking the situation, which we had a lot from our quarterback room.
But what also surprised me was knowing that Maryland knew we were going to have to, you know, rely on the run, and Maryland supposedly being a good run D, that, you know, they had some plays that I want to say blew up. They didn't really blow up anything, maybe one or two, but, you know, they did not, you know, we just, like you said, the line just got it done. I mean, the holes were there. You know, Caleb averaged 0.7 a carry. And when you look at it, his long was only 13. When you look at it, literally, every time he got the ball, he made 5 yards. I mean, that's how you can look at it. I mean, he had a few 9-yarders and all that. But, I mean, basically, that was how it was. I mean, we were never in or rarely in third and long. We didn't put Jackson Stratton in a position where he had to, you know, do or die, or none of that. I mean, that was just – but I just expected, you know, were we going to be going to a lot more to the pass? You know, let's hope the tight ends are looking good and all that. How many times did we throw to our tight ends yesterday? Our tight ends had two carries. Our tight ends had two catches.
I thought that was something they were going to lean on to – you know, just because that's a safety blanket.
Yeah. Jarriott Bowie and Jacob Gill both had good, you know, key catches at, you know, key points. I just think, Stringa had that first down catch. I was really, I guess I'm more impressed by the fact that, and look, it's Maryland, I get it, but it's still, it's on the road against a conference team.
And we haven't played well on the road.
To come out of there and say, you know what, we imposed our will and ran the ball like we wanted to, pretty solid. You really can't get too upset there. So it'll be interesting to see if Jackson Stratton gets more confidence from the coaches, gets more confidence in himself. I mean, I thought he seemed very confident yesterday. He didn't talk, you know, I'd like to see if he's got a little bit more, you know, extend plays with his feet type thing. I don't think they let him, I think they kept him out of that scenario. The play calls, maybe the play calling was just vanilla because it had to be. He just may not be comfortable with the full range of the playbook. I mean, that's entirely possible as well. So, but he certainly seems to be able to make the throws. I mean, there was somebody joked yesterday, he threw that play, that one that was basically cross field, you know, far to the right side, to the long side of the field, wide side of the field. And somebody said, Cade could make that play with two throws. Yeah. It's kind of cold, but not untrue. I mean, Cade has had problems with that throw in the past. He's also had made just two. What are we going to see this week? Boy, let's do we get to this drama right now? So let's start with Cade. Let's start with Cade. The rumor started that Cade quit. Then Scott
wasn't even really a rumor. It was, you know, one of your favorite people in the world and another writer that had a pod that they did on Wednesday where they were has Cade taken his last throws at Iowa?
And
the media picked it up and ran with it.
And Lystico said something, and then Scott Docterman piled on and said, if I were staff, I wouldn't be happy with Cade. And I went after him for it, especially after the, you know, and I feel bad. I went after him on Twitter, on X, formerly known as Twitter. I didn't need to. He's just reporting what he's been hearing. And you know what? I don't doubt that those guys hear stuff. I think they, you know.
Oh, yeah, they've been right most times. More times than not, they're right with what their sources give them.
And like it or not, guess what? That's how you get more clicks. That's how you get more, more eyes on your writing, all of that stuff. That's how you get more ears on your podcast. I get all that. I didn't like it. Somebody tried to gang up and say, Hank, this is the wrong side to take an argument on. And I just ignored it because that person then said something else and I skewered them. But, don't try to bandwagon just because, you know, the media, one of somebody in media says something. I mean, he asked me, he was, Hank, did you listen to the whole thing? I said, yeah, I did. And you said, coaches, if you were a coach, and guess what? You know, now you know. And he made it sound like, well, I recorded this because this is what I saw from Cade, and I'm sharing it. It's like, yeah, but it's not what you shared earlier. But again, I have no reason to go after. Scott Docterman is by all accounts, seems like a nice guy. Unless I'm very wrong, I think he's a Hawk fan and a Hawk supporter. So he's not a, you know, he's not a controversial. He doesn't try to be anti-Hawk in a Hawkeye shirt, so to speak. So, but yeah, so the rumor was that he had quit or that he had this or that he had that. He was listed on the depth chart first and then he wasn't. And then the university clarified, and then Cade clarified, then the university clarified.
University did, yep.
Yeah. He says he wants to play this week, and that he may not be clear.
He says he's going to be there for the game against Nebraska. Yeah. That's what he said in his statement. I'll be there on the sidelines for the Nebraska game. And hoping to play.
Yeah, and people sit there saying that he's going to maybe go for an exemption, go to the port. That's not happening. I would be shocked.
Yeah.
I'd be shocked if he got another year. I'm sorry. And I'm not saying that that's wrong one way or the other. I just would be shocked that if he got another year, whether it's at Iowa or anywhere else. But, you know.
And I definitely won't be in Iowa, I don't think. Even as much as he said he's an Iowa guy, I mean, just, you know, Petrus. Always been an Iowa guy, but you know he knew the writing on the wall was there. And the same, kind of guy that reads it.
But he also took a medical hardship. Spencer Petras did, so he couldn't play for Iowa again. Yeah, Cade would be a different matter. But I don't think. No, I think Cade's college career is over. And you know, hey, he got to a playoff. You know, with Michigan. Probably stealing signs and scouting, but whatever, you know. And it's, you know, I'm joking about. No, no, seriously, the kid, he's got a Big Ten championship. Frankly, he's got two because he was the backup, even though he was out for the year. But he's got two Big Ten championship, two playoff appearances technically, one as a starter. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can't exactly feel sorry for the kid. I mean, it didn't work out the way we hoped and the way he probably hoped, but. Hey, good career. He's got an education.
Two Big Ten championships and a Big Ten West championship. I mean, how many quarterbacks can say that in their career?
That's true.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, Tyrone Tracy still has the all-time with two straight Citrus Bowl appearances with two different teams. If Cade can see the field even for a little bit, I mean, I wouldn't be averse to Yeah, I would not be averse to him. I wouldn't even be averse to him starting the game, taking a series, and then the coach is saying, okay, you've done, you know, and pulling him and letting him get a standing ovation, so to speak. I mean, what everybody
thinks? You think you'd give him a standing ovation?
Why not? If he, you know, he just wants to see. He wants to go out on a high note. I don't. Why can't fans
give him
that?
I'm just saying, our fans. You know how they are.
Yeah, I and that's one thing I gotta say from Hawkeye Beacon, which used to be Hawkeye. Man, I'm disgusted with the Iowa fan base.
Yeah.
Including myself. But guess what else I did? We'll move on to the next player that we'll talk about. I was the ones on Hawkeye Beacon and elsewhere, and I said, when I heard about Harris, pull his scully. Make him pay it all back.
You and I were texting back and forth. We were talking about how he needs to pay back to the Swarm Collective the money that they paid for his tuition because they, you know, didn't have a scholarship for him, but he wanted to come back. You know, I was just on that bandwagon also.
And then as I said to you yesterday, as the game was starting, you know what? It could be both. He could be injured, and because of it, they're saying, you know, shut it down for the year. Get ready for the draft. You know, you're still on the team. You're still here, but you know, you're not healthy enough to get out there and play. Certainly not worth risking it if that's the case, you know, and it may be the case for both Key and Kate, but maybe both of them walk next week for senior day, but they simply aren't able to get on the field. I mean, you know, like I said, mm-hmm. I'd love to see Cade get in for just a series if that's all he can do and be able to walk off the field under his own power. On the other hand, if putting him out there is a risk to him and the same with Jamari Harris, then absolutely not. No. Even just for a symbolic play. I mean, let them both walk out as captains, you know?
Right.
That, to me, would be, you know, a way to do
it. I think that was also one thing that people jumped on with Cade. Was he had been a captain all the way up until the UCLA game, but he didn't travel for that game. And then when they announced the captains early in the season and he wasn't, early in the week for the Maryland game, and he had been said he was the, you know, number one on the depth chart at QB, and then him not being a captain, it just, everything started added up for people. And that's why I think everybody just started making a lot of assumptions.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure how good University of Iowa's journalism school is rated. I'm sure it's not in the league of many others, but I'm sure it's not bad either. But I'll tell you what, the PR folks in the athletic department could use a little brush up.
Good God.
I mean, the ball was dropped not once, but twice in a span of about 72 hours. And people, mm-hmm. including, you know, you and I both admitting that, you know, I said stuff, and which, again, part of it is, you know what, they're getting paid now. They're getting, you know, so that goes with the territory. But you know what, it really doesn't. I mean, even a first or second year NFL guy, you know, if you're going to think that just because he's a cocky 24-year-old making money now doesn't mean that they don't have fragile egos and have genuine feelings, you know? I mean, that's why I'm so happy for Tyrone Tracy, you know, as much as anything. Yep. It's just because he left Iowa as a, you know, with his tail between his legs.
Oh, he was still maligned. You know, talking about his hands. And I mean, everybody was on him.
Everybody said, the only thing that saved him in that regard was when Charlie Jones left the way he did. Everybody said, at least Tyrone did it the right way. And then, like I said, having met him on a paddle tour, you couldn't have met a nicer kid. And he spoke so highly of his former teammates. I mean, that was the thing. I just remember that I had happened to interview Felicia Goodson, and how did he think Tyler was going to do, you know, because Tyler had a rookie year on the practice squad. Or what. I said, oh, no, he's going to make it. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to be a pro and a good pro. And then I mentioned interviewing Felicia, and he said, oh, He says he's got the best family, just a wonderful family. I mean, he was genuine, you know. I mean, he was brought up the racial issue. He says maybe it was there, not while I was. I never saw it. And Felicia Goodson said the same thing. Tyler was shocked about the Doyle stuff. So you know, you think that these are no, they're not. I mean, they're just normal nice guys, just trying to make it in there, whatever they're doing, you know.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say is we have to stop looking at it as an Iowa thing, as in these
right.
kids want to go and make, you know, play. They want to make a place for themselves. And it wasn't
yeah.
working in Iowa. Well, we asked him multiple times to move to running back. We felt he was better for there. And he said, no, I want to be a wide receiver. He tried to go to Purdue and be a wide receiver. And they're like, no, if you want to be here, you've got to be a running back.
Yeah.
And he finally accepted it. So you can't fault a kid for wanting to go someplace and make
yeah.
a place for himself. So
and I
you
think
can't.
He,
that's the
I
part that we have as fans have to get over.
Yeah, and I think he had been told coming out of high school that his future was at receiver. You know, he had the speed,
yeah.
good size. If you saw the kid, and I don't want to sound like a homo here, but kid's chiseled. I mean, he's not super big, but there's not an ounce of fat on the kid, so to speak. I mean, I remember him actually asking me, "Am I going to be able to stand up on a paddleboard?" And I'm like, I said, you mean, I've seen you make one-handed catches in the back of the end zone and keeping a foot in bounds. You're worried about standing up on a 34-inch wide paddleboard? You know, and of course, it was like 65 degrees. I'm wearing long sleeves, sweats. He's wearing shorts, you know, because he's from Indiana and it's Florida. I mean, all that stuff. It was like not an innocent kid, wide-eyed innocent, but
yeah.
just a nice kid on vacation. You know, it wasn't football. You know, the game was over. It was a kid on vacation who, you know what? That's what it makes you realize. These are, you know, and that's why I felt so bad about what I said about Jamari Harris. And I didn't really jump on the Cade thing because I kind of figured, wait a second, something's up here. But, you know, still, I wasn't super supportive either. And you got to remember, they're 22, 24-year-old kids whose egos are still fragile. I mean, when I was 24, I got news for you. I wasn't setting the world on fire, and I wasn't exactly sure about how this planet worked.
Right.
So, yeah, I just – we've got to be better. Yes, they get money now. I get it. But who is screaming for them to get paid besides them? Fans.
Yeah,
they deserve
yeah.
it. You know, we have to remember a lot of things. We have to remember that, you know what, for everything that Iowa does in its sports program, it does a lot more in, you know, medical research. I mean,
yeah.
what happens at the hospital outside of the kids' hospital outside of the wave is what's important. The wave is great. But all the other stuff that, you know, that's the important stuff. You know, what's happening
mm-hmm.
in the classrooms or not happening in the class, that's the important stuff. I mean, for everything we talk about sports and how much money it is and all that stuff, it pales in comparison to the grant money and the all the other kind of
yeah.
research money that passed us through a university. We've got to remember that. I mean, you know, there is something to the fact of what about that poor chemistry student that's working two jobs to pay their tuition? You know, we have to remember that kind of stuff. We also have to remember, guess what? That chemistry student might be working two jobs, but that chemistry student doesn't have to do that. That chemistry student has other ways. That chemistry student
yeah.
can, you know, has to remember that this kid playing football has to get up at this time, has to work their whole class schedule around it, all that stuff.
Yep.
I mean, they're all college students, and they're, you know, some of them are entitled. I get it. There's a lot of brats out there. There are a lot of kids that, but still, these are 20, you know, 18 to 24-year-old. I would say 18 to 22, but now with, you know, all that COVID crap, 18 to 24-year-old kids who still have feelings, who still have, you know, whether you agree with them politically or whether as an example, TJ Hall, I've been bitching about him all season and I'm not alone. But you know what? Like I said yesterday, he saved his season in a sense, in my mind.
Yeah.
And not only that, the how happy he looked, it was like good for him. You know, I mean,
exactly.
You know,
in the grand scheme of things, we have to, as fans, and, you know, we've always talked about this, you know, we are who we are. And I think this goes to and what I'm trying to argue is why we get so on, you know, with players, you know, shutting it down or not performing the way we think they should be is we're Iowa.
Yeah.
We're
yeah.
not Alabama. We're not Ohio State. We have to start taking this football with a grain of salt that, yeah, we're going to have years like 2015, where we go 12-0 and, you know, make the Big Ten championship game and, you know, come really close to making the playoffs. We're Iowa. It's always
yeah.
going to be a developmental. We're going to have the roller coaster where we're going to have a really good 2 or 3 year run, and then it's going to drop because, you know, the developmental players have moved on and we're having to develop another crop of players. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing that, that I had to step back, you know, over the years, because I'm very, you know, I'm passionate. And just have to remember that we don't go and recruit the 4 and 5 stars at every position. We recruit the players that we see that meet, that fit our team dynamic, the way we want to be as a team, and then players that we can mold to be better and be a 4 or 5 star by the time they're done with their career at Iowa. And that's the part that fans are having a hard time of, you know. And another thing, we were talking about the NIL side of it. You know what? If you're going to be such a huge Iowa fan, start ponying up and paying into the NIL and helping us to be able to get the players that you want. And, you know, we all talk about that we are if we were coaching or if we were whatever when it comes to the team, well, this is your opportunity as a fan to put your money where your mouth is to be able to, you know, help bring the team up to where you feel it should be. And I hear so many people that, oh, they're getting a free education and I don't believe in paying NIL. Then stop bitching. Stop.
Yeah.
If you're going to feel that way, you stop bitching about the product that's put on the field. If you're not willing to actually have the opportunity to help that, then stop. Don't complain anymore.
Yeah.
That's my 2 cents. That's my soapbox moment there, but that's how I feel about it.
Yeah, and you can't – and everybody blaming players for it. It's really easy to place NIL blame. It's two places, the NCAA and the fan base. It's not
right.
It's not the players. I mean, what happened is that NCAA started making money off of name, image, and likeness, not the players. NCAA, you know, video football and, you know, jersey merchandising and all that stuff. And fans bought it, and fans bought it on, you know, they bought the video, they bought this, you know, I'm going to make, you know, Tyrone Tracy my guy. Look at what Tyrone Tracy does on my NCAA football. Meanwhile, Tyrone Tracy literally was told, you get $168 a month for that. You get $204 for that. Here's your housing voucher. You know, show up at class. You know, I can't argue the player's position, you know, against the player's position.
Hey.
Had they simply said, look, this is still college sports, and they are getting an education. And fans, like it or not, you're not going to, you know, had they kept jerseys generic, that kind of thing, it probably could have. But you know what? You think that was going to happen? It worked fine when there were 4 billion people on the planet and 180 million people in the United States. Once we got, you know, 8 billion people on the planet and, you know, 330 million people in the United States, well, that was you know, inevitable. So,
yeah.
Here's another thing. We're playing Thanksgiving weekend. We hadn't done that. We never did that when I was in college, by the way. Once or twice when we had like a 12th game or something, but it didn't really happen. It never. I'm for this, and I'm thinking an NCAA, and I know NCAA won't, but you know what is wrong with, you know, having the Army Navy game on Thanksgiving Day? You know, that's no other college football games. Let the pros play at night, but you know, it used to be when I was growing up, the, you know, 11 a.m., 12 noon, you know, Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, where I grew up, Army Navy was on. That's it, you know. And then if you're going to have, you know, because of the way the scheduling has gotten in the 12 games, which is fine, make all other Thanksgiving weekend stuff, make it, you know, regional or in-state only. In other words, if you don't, you know, if you're Washington, Washington State, let them play Thanksgiving weekend. Let Iowa, Iowa State play Thanksgiving weekend. So kids can, you know, local kids can go home. Teammates can go home with their, you know, out-of-state teammates can go home with their teammates or do something. I mean, because, you know, literally kids don't have a Thanksgiving anymore, and they really don't even have that much of a Christmas. And
no,
we can sit there and say,
you're paid
for it. You're not paid the way a pro is, number one. Maybe a couple of them are, but I mean, for the most part, you're not paid pro money. And, you know, it's still a formative time. I mean, you know, you're tearing families, not tearing them apart, but, you know, there's something wrong about that to me. And maybe I'm overthinking. But
Well, that's one of the biggest, you know, to go on what you're saying, you know, being that formative years, and that's one of the biggest things, you know, most players, it's not, I think now it's different, you know, the playing time, but in the past, it's always been homesick, need to be home near family or, you know, those little things. I think that's been a, you know, not an issue, but it's been part of, you know, reason why kids leave schools in the past. And I think that's, you know, your little thing like that could be, you know, I don't know if it's the answer to it, but it's something that could help curtail that.
Yeah. Or do teams really need 2 bye weeks? You know, give them Thanksgiving week off, except like I say, Army, Navy, there's something about that. And having that game on Thanksgiving mm-hmm. would be cool because, you know, we're thankful for that we still have these guys, so to speak. I mean, that I'm not, you know, and make that the only game that weekend, you know. I know historically there were games on Thanksgiving Day or Good Friday or whatever, but, you know, get away from that. Make that be the Army-Navy weekend. You know, mm-hmm. give thanks as a nation. Give thanks as a football, you know, as a sports nation. Give the players the week off and then let them come back and finish the next week or comp change game week or whatever. You know, they've figured everything else out. They've got to figure out a way to not be playing Thanksgiving week. I mean, it was bad enough if you were in the Rose Bowl. Now, again, 40 years ago, only one team, you know, and, well, it's when it started, you know, multiple teams. But, I mean, certainly in the 1970s, if you weren't in the Rose Bowl from the Big Ten, you weren't, you know, your season was over. You weren't playing in another bowl game and all that stuff. Your season was over. But at least you had a chance to, you know, enjoy that. Now, there's no holidays for these kids. I mean, I just think that's wrong. That's so whatever. So
it's advertising. Advertising makes the world go around. You know, it's that revenue that all the schools want and the conferences want and the TV exposure.
And you know, all that decision about the you know, the TV, the revenue that schools are all going to get and the 105 player limits and all that, that's all going to be done up. There's now the NCAA, when they dropped the ball in a lot of ways. One, saying, well, you need Congress to come up with something. No, you don't. What you should have asked Congress mm-hmm. to come up with was some kind of antitrust protection so that you could do some of this stuff and have hard rules. But they, you know, they dropped the ball years ago. One, they're biased. They weren't equal in their investigative, you know, endeavors,
yeah.
Number one. I mean, you know, that kind of, they sacrificed it. And the schools, the bigger conferences, whatever, should have pulled them apart, but, you know, they've just blown it up. But either way, this didn't have to turn out the way it did. And you can blame the NCAA. I mean, you could sit there and talk about, well, the SEC thinks they're entitled. Well, sure, because guess what? You know, it's the same with Florida State and the ACC. The eyes in the ACC weren't on, you know, Louisville. They weren't on Georgia Tech. They were on basically Clemson and Florida State. So they had a right to be. I mean, like it or not, in the Big 12, yeah, they were on. Those eyes were on Oklahoma and Texas. Now, Texas was greedy, but still, you know, you remember many people sacrificing their Saturday to watch, you know, Iowa State, Texas Tech? Yeah, and me neither.
No.
You know? So, but the NCAA still blew it. And it is what it is. It's we are, you know, it's like they say, you're not going to close the barn door now. So,
yeah.
So this week, Iowa hosting Nebraska. What, some thought, okay, let's talk about special teams. What could blow this game open from a special team standpoint?
I mean, this is a game where we need Reese to be on just because I think it's going to be just because of the situation of the volatile game. Nebraska's coming off the big win on Wisconsin. They're both eligible. You don't know what their psyche is going to be. Is it going to be a letdown for them, or are they going to try to push for the 7 win and, you know, a better bowl? So I think, you know, the punting is going to have to be there as far as, you know, helping with the flipping the fields, because we know they're going to stack the box against us, depending on who – it doesn't matter who's going to be a quarterback. They're going to stack the box and trying to stop the run. So I think, you know, Reese has got to be on. We got to get some inside the 20s, inside the 10 type of punts from him. And historically, the series has come down to field goals. So we just need the same momentum going from Stevens. just being rock steady, kicking, you know, hitting the time we want, you know, all the kicks that, you know, that we ask him to kick. So I think that is just status quo and maybe just a little more in the punting game because we haven't had to ask of it that much over the last few games. So now it's time to, all right, flip the switch. This is where you need to be on it.
Yeah. I don't expect us to get it, like I said, a touchdown return, mainly because I just, you know, the cat's out of the bag. I think we need to make sure we don't give up anything that in that regard.
Right.
We need to stay in our lanes and coverage. I think, you know, what I think is going to make, and it turned a Nebraska, a game against Nebraska a few years ago. I think what we might need to see is a punt or field goal block, you know, for us. That might be the kind of thing that'll turn the game. I don't think, like I said, I don't think we're going to get a return. I just don't see it happening. It's always possible, but I don't, you know, don't see that kind of thing. So, yeah, the punt block, the field goal block, the extra point block, that might be the big turning point. Defensively, what worries you?
The Jamari Harris. Is he going to play or not? We are susceptible, you know, because we're very – I don't want to say young. We're just inexperienced at the corner with both Lee and Hall, if that's the situation, and we have no depth, really, to behind them. So I just think, you know, the safeties getting their act together and communicating with, you know, throughout the game, because it's just been – that's been the biggest thing that's, you know, hurt us throughout, you know, overall has hurt us.
Yeah. And – T.J. Hall had a rough go against Nebraska a couple years ago, so.
Yeah, he did. But is their pass game as dynamic as it was? You know, that guy's playing in the NFL now for the Bucs, you know, that had that game against them. So, I mean, they've got a good passing game. Raiola's got 2,400 yards, but I don't know. I haven't had enough time to really process what Nebraska's done, you know, comparatively to what our defense can do. So it's just.
Yeah. And again, I'm not so sure that, that our line won't be, play on top of their game too. So that's just, definitely.
Yeah.
So defensively, the line needs to get pressure on Raiola. The
linebackers, they've given up 22 sacks this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like they're not giving up sacks.
Yeah, I don't worry about our linebackers. I never do, other than injury or something like that. But, you know, so the backfield is going to have to be at the end of their game. They're going to have to communicate, and we're going to have to get pressure. If we do that, then I don't worry too much offensively.
Right.
Go for it.
Offensively, it's just take care of the ball. That's going to be the biggest thing for us is taking care of the ball, you know, not putting whoever is at quarterback, it's going to be Cade or Jackson in any situations where, you know, it's on their shoulders and just kind of have a continuation of what we saw in the Maryland game, using the run, you know, really, you know, being trend creative. You saw some different wrinkles from the run game, you know, on Saturday that, you know, created some, you know, situations that were, you know, you saw it in the later in the games, you know, they were doing certain things that were setting up for it.
Yeah.
So I just think it's just with the unknown at quarterback and how we've been, you know, had that the whole season. It's, you know, Caleb, who knows, it's going to be his last game as a Hawkeye in Kinnick Stadium. You know, let's just go out there and put it all out there on the run game and, you know, have the pass be complimentary like it was Saturday. And I think I'm feeling decently confident that we can do it. But, you know, this is Nebraska game. There's games where we thought we were going to win and blow them out, and it's been close. Or, you know, we've gotten leads and lost like we did in 14. So I just haven't had enough time to really think it over.
Yeah. Eventually, skin and cape, but Caleb, there was a key play he had yesterday. I think it was when we were still up 19-13, and we had a third and short, and a third and one, and you know, a couple times we've been stopped short and punt or whatever, but he had a third down first carry for a first down. It was and it was crucial because he looked like he was stopped right at the line and he just sort of kept it moved forward. And it was the next mm-hmm. player, the play after where Kamari Moulton got that touchdown. But that was a super crucial third down conversion that was kind of underrated. And so that when Kamari got that touchdown, I thought it was just assumed it was Caleb, you know, I didn't realize, you know, they pulled him on that. But I mean, man, that was a actual, you know, as big a play as any conversion. And it was second out on his part. I don't think he was stopped per se, but you know, he busted through to make, you know, to leave no doubt that that was a first down. And so that was a huge play from him. I would like to see, us finish with, you know, I would like to see us, rather than five field goals. I wouldn't mind seeing, or was it five field goals?
I get you.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind seeing two or three of those be touchdowns. Let's put it that way. But, I don't know that we're going to surprise them with anything other than it would be nice if Jackson Stratton is the, and I think Jackson's the guy. I don't think it's not a knock on Cade's ability. It's more a worry about his health. You know, anybody that's less than 100% doesn't terms give you the best chance to win. You know, I don't care if 90% Cade is better than 100% Jackson, which I would doubt anyway. I would question that. But my point being, anything less than 100% Cade, he shouldn't see the field. You know, and I'm not talking a tweaked hamstring. I'm talking, you know, post-concussion, no. He shouldn't – you know, other than a symbolic if he's able to do something like that. But so I'm going to assume Jackson is our quarterback. I would like to see us – try and get him to go downfield a bit. I was surprised we didn't do that more yesterday from the standpoint, like I said, they were going to be we thought they were going to sell out to stop the run. In a real sense, they sold out to stop the pass. Everybody keeps talking about stack the box and it's like, okay, way to learn a term off a message board for them. But they weren't, they not only didn't stack the box. They weren't, I mean, there was no single high. I mean, they were. I was shocked how at the running lanes, and yes, the line did a good job. But the line did a good job because they didn't have to overdo their job. They didn't have to do, you know, extra work, if you will. I was pleasantly surprised that we were able to do that. But I think we're not going to be able to pull that against Nebraska. I think Nebraska is not Maryland.
No, you know? Not at all.
And it's not a multi-time zone. You know, they're driving basically across the state. You know, they're not making a big long trip or anything like that. It's not, we're going to have to finish some drives a little bit more convincingly. And I think the passing game is going to have to pick it up. I mean, everybody keeps talking about, you know, the passing game will pick it up eventually. And we've had moments, but I think we're going to need to see 150 pass yards. We're not going to, you know, 80 pass yards is not going to cut it against Nebraska, I don't think.
Yeah, so. I agree. I mean, and I think to your point, you were talking about it, I think it was there. I think we could have passed if we wanted to, because most of the times, you know, when we did pass it, they were wide open. They were a horrible passing, you know, defense team. So, and then, you know, we left some on the field, you know. Bowie was not ready for that pass, and that was a touchdown, you know.
Yeah.
The one that you know, because he barely even got a hand up, so he knew he wasn't expecting to get the ball. So,
no.
I think it's there. I think it's we're bowl eligible. It's, you know, it's a rivalry game, kind of. It's a trophy game. You know, put it all out there. It's the last game of the season. See what you got for next year type of situation. You know, you were talking about that, I think, when we were texting. You know, it's 2 games left, I think, when we were texting about it. It's like, you know what, well, you just see what you got for next year. And that's kind of what you're doing in this situation is, are we going to have to really jump into the portal? Are we going to be fine with, you know, Sully and Stratton and Lyon as next year quarterback? You know, just like kind of that type of a mentality of like, you know, let's try to beat them the way we want to beat them and not the way we have to beat them, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's a couple things that we haven't really talked about, and that's why I say I wonder if it's his last game, and is Caleb Johnson is 358 yards away from Sean Green's single-season rushing yardage record in two games. So that's 179 yards a game. That's a tall order against the two, you know, against both Nebraska and whoever you're going to face in a bowl game. By the way, one wag, if you will, one expert is picking us in Tampa against Bama now.
Yes.
You know, I don't know. By the way, how did Proctor do yesterday? Do we know? Care
no.
in sense, but.
I mean, maybe not that good since they got beat that bad by not a really good Oklahoma team. So.
Yeah. So that would be, you know, I'm not sure that I would relish facing them, but on the other hand, you know what? What better way to spit in that kid's face than to, you know, even if they were to win, just to say, you know what, you got owned. You know, that would be awesome. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. I mean, especially if we were to lose Friday. But anyway, Caleb Johnson is 158 yards from. You know, or 358 yards from breaking Sean Green's record. Do you think he's got a shot? I mean, a legit shot.
I do. And hear me out on this one. It could be his last game in Kinnick. He loves playing in that stadium. He loves being a Hawkeye. And he ran for 165 yesterday against a team that was supposed to be a better run defense.
Yeah.
And then what Nebraska is. And, you know, so I think he can get a large chunk of it tomorrow, maybe half of it tomorrow. Next week, you know, on Friday. So I think there's a chance. And I don't think he's a kid that's going to shut it down in the bowl game. You know,
right.
You got to think about that being part of it. And so I would say with the way this team is so Jekyll and Hyde on offense and – I can't say no that he can't do it. There's a great chance of doing it with, you know, depending on who the bowl team is that we play. Nebraska, you know, it's Nebraska still. And, you know, you can't say that in the sense of it's the 90s Nebraska. It's the, you know, the 2020 Nebraskas and the 2010s Nebraska. That's just, you know, in crucial games seems to, you know, let big things happen to them. You know, maybe we could see a Jordan Kanziri game. Like in, you know, in 15 where he, you know, three plays of 70 yards in that game, I think it was, or something crazy. And he had a crazy stat line in that game. So, you know, we could see something like that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. I mean, I think he has a, I don't want to say a legitimate shot, but I think there is an okay shot of getting the record.
Yeah. I'd sure like to see him get nothing against Sean Green. I love Sean Green, but I would love to see it just because, you know, coming into the season, he was second and or third on the depth chart.
Yeah.
And he had shown promise in his previous, you know, couple seasons. You know, he'd shown the glimpses. So it's just nice to see.
He broke
the
rookie, you know, freshman record for rushing his freshman year, you know. And everybody's like, oh, here's the next great one. And then he was injured all of last year.
Yeah. So it'll be nice to see him chase it, you know, I would really like, and of course this Friday sets the tone, you know, again, we know Kirk would never do it at the expense, you know, look, he had a couple chances to get him over 100 when he could have, and he didn't, you know, we know Kirk is never going to do it at the expense of the team or of the game itself, you know, I mean, that's not going to happen, but it would be nice to see him get a little push for it, no doubt, so.
And here's the other reason I would say there is a chance for it. If you look at it, they were talking, you and I were sitting there watching the game yesterday, and when he got to the 27th carry, that was his most carries in a game all season. You know, he did go to 35, but still, there's not a lot of wear on the tires with him going into the end of the season. So, you know, just using him as, you know, and I think he wants it. He likes, it's not like he doesn't like running the ball. So just having that chance to just, you know what, keep feeding him the monster. And I think is a great chance of, you know, having, you know, 175-yard game, you know, putting him in a legit chance in a bowl game. You know, I don't see – I think that could happen. It's not like he's worn out.
He's, you know, he's the only option. So, it's, you know,
no.
I think we'd be in a lot better position if Brendan Sullivan were playing than either Jackson Stratton Cade. But, you know, let's face facts. But by the same token, it would be nice to – I just think it would be nice to have him get close to it at least be talking about it the last game of the season, you know? So, yeah, it's an interesting story. It's not the be-all, end-all, you know.
It would be a nice way to cap a rough season.
Yeah. And that's not what everybody was talking about, but I wasn't thinking playoff the way a lot of people were. I just didn't, you know, there were too many questions in my mind coming into this season. Not the least of which was our quarterback situation. I wasn't convinced Cade was healthy. I don't know that you can come back from multiple knee injuries. Some people have, but I'm not sure that you could expect that out of Cade given what he's had. So I wasn't, you know, a new offensive coordinator. Yeah, things change, but you're still, you know, it's not like you're reteaching it to five-star talent who can play anywhere on any style.
Right.
That wasn't what we were working with. People talk about, well, our veteran offensive line. Yeah, but that veteran offensive line hadn't shown much up until this season. And even still this year has had its moments of disappointment.
Aggression.
So, yeah. So I wasn't, 8-4, I was hoping 9-3. 10-2, but I wasn't anybody was expecting 10-2 or 11-1. I'm sorry, that was a pipe dream.
Well, people were buying into. There's a lot of talk of the playoffs with this team because it was so veteran laden. You know,
yeah.
I'll be one of the ones that thought that. You know, sometimes I get caught up in it, and you know, but
yeah, go to the go.
It
to
is
the
what it is.
Board.
You know.
Yeah. Go to the message.
Oh God,
board.
Yeah.
They're delusional folks on there. I don't know why I go back. I disappoint myself, you know.
I'm the same way.
So, yeah. As far as what you think is going to put us over the, what'll be the difference maker this Friday? What do you think? What single thing would make you feel much better, either going into the game or during the game? What's one thing that would make you feel better about
getting into the game? We need to know Monday who's going to be the quarterback.
Okay.
I think that's the biggest thing that just because it just shows confidence. If it's Jackson, then we know that's the path we're going the rest of, you know, bowl game into next year. That Cade is done. It takes the drama out of the week. It takes a lot of stress, I think, off the player's shoulders going into it. You know, you could see it in the press conferences last week. With the player press conference, they were having to almost like couldn't talk. You know, they couldn't talk the way they wanted to because they were either having to, you know, been told don't talk about this, you can't, you know, divulge this information. So I think just knowing Monday, all right, Cade's cleared and he's going to be our starter. Cade's not going to play. Jackson and Lyonnais are going to be our guys for the game on Friday. So I think that's the biggest thing that we need is just some clarity for the team that they can just concentrate on practicing and getting the mindset for Friday instead of having all these things hanging over them.
Yeah. To me, you mentioned it earlier. I would feel a lot better going in knowing that Jamari Harris is available and will play or not.
But that's what I was talking about.
Yeah. But that's the one thing
part
going
of that circus right now.
Yeah, that's the one thing going into the game for me that would make me feel like, he is or he isn't. But it would be nice to know that he is. During the game, I would like to see us, you know, utilize the pass a bit more.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And you know, when that comes to that is, and we've been asking for it the whole season, is the tight ends.
Yeah, we really haven't seen him the way we have in the past. And where's Pascuzzi been all of a sudden? You know,
he was there, and then now with having both Estrada back and Lachey fully healthy, you know, and then he's just kind of falling down the depth chart. I mean, he went into the portal for a minute this year, after spring practice. So, you know, he was never going to play a big part. He's had to just because of, you know, injuries this year. So,
just kind of, you know, for me, the passing, if we can pass better this week, I'll feel a lot better. So that's just me on that score. So anything else to add?
Well, you know me and my little fact finding and going out there and trying to find some interesting things. And it made me think about this year. You know, this is the third starting quarterback to win a game for Iowa. You know, third different quarterback to win a game for Iowa. You know, we've had Cade win one, we've had Sully win one, and now Jackson. Do you know the last time we had three different quarterbacks that started, not come in, started games, three different quarterbacks starting games and win games?
No, not even close. Can't even guess.
I had to do a lot of research last night, and it's 2006. It was Drew Cate.
Yep.
That was his senior season. I think it was.
Yep.
And then we
Jason
had
Manson.
Manson. Jason Manson come in the Syracuse game to play in that and win because of, Tate being out in the double overtime game and the stand and all of that. But can you name the third one?
Yeah, Jake Christensen.
Yeah.
Against Northern Illinois.
The only game we won the rest of the season was Northern Illinois game.
Yep. Yep, we finished that season 1-4, 1-5. And 6-6, went to a bowl. Next year we went 6-6 and didn't get a bowl after that horrible performance against Western Michigan. That was it, huh? So it's three in a season. You know, this reminded me a lot of the Ohio State game in 1991 in the sense that we were never really threatened per se. It was after the shooting at Van Allen Hall. And, Matt Rogers was out. And so Jim Hartley got the start at Ohio State. And we won 16-9, but it was, you know, we had a lot of chances, but we ended up getting, you know, three field goals. Now we had Leroy Smith on the defense, but that was a game where it was like Hartley was total game. And that's what Jackson Stratton was yesterday. He was total game manager. He did a little bit more than the average game manager, but he was a game manager yesterday. Let's face it. They weren't taking many chances with him. So, had that feel for me where, you know, we had a couple things break that didn't break in that, you know, where we, you know, got a couple big plays, but just, you know, very, we were never going to, we weren't going to blow them out, so to speak. And we just somehow did enough to win and the quarterback didn't make mistakes. And that was the whole thing. Just don't make mistakes. And in that regard,
just a little bit. We should have blown them out yesterday. I mean, five field goals and then the fumble inside the 25. I mean, we should have blown them out, you know. So, but I get what you mean. It just had that feel of it looked closer than it was, but it was never really in question.
Yeah.
You know, type of a feel to it, you know. So.
Right. Yeah, true. We could have blown them out. But, I mean, we just didn't. You know, you couldn't expect that with a very inexperienced quarterback. So,
fourth string walk on playing scout team as a linebacker 2 weeks ago. You know, I mean, you can't write a headline like that. You can't even fathom a headline like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. True. So, okay. So that I think that does it for this week. I think unless you got anything else to add.
Yeah, I mean, unless you want to, you know, throw a prediction out there for the game.
Okay, I'm going to let you start. I'll start. I'll take the pressure off you. I'm going to say this does not come down to a field goal, although field goals will be important. But I'm going to say 24-20, Iowa.
Okay. No, I'm leaning just because we have had more success than not over the last almost 10 years with Nebraska, that I think they're going to have a letdown, per se, because first time in since 2017 or 16, I'm sorry, that they've been bowl eligible. And it's just, I think it's one of those things of like, they've gotten over the hump. You know, I could see, you know, us coming in and, you know, like I'm thinking more, you know, we still haven't given up a lot of points really other than the Ohio State game. So I'm still thinking something, you know, like you're saying 24, maybe 27, you know, 17, you know, something like that is what I'm thinking, that, you know, touchdown or, you know, more than a field, just more than a field goal win this year. And click the pick is going to be Caleb. I think Caleb really has a chance to really put himself within, you know, a shot of breaking the record in the bowl game.
Okay. Fair enough. Okay, well, I think that definitely does it. You got any big plans for Thanksgiving? You staying in town or?
See, oh, I'm always in town. We're going to just go over to the mother and father-in-laws, you know, have some fun there. Nothing crazy, you know, then go do a little shopping maybe on Friday and then, you know, go hang out with some crazy Hawkeye fans on Friday night.
Yeah, that's the Friday nights. I want to be there, but it just depends on whatever stuff I have paddle wise or where I might be paddling. So hopefully if I'm paddling up at Silver Springs that day, then I will be there Friday night. So we'll have a great Thanksgiving, my friend, if I don't talk to you beforehand.
You too, sir.
And don't eat too much, but on the other hand, don't pick it as your diet start time. So
I think we'll be texting a few times this week. I think there's going to be a few crazy things that still come out this week.
Exactly.
So.
Exactly. Okay, good to talk to you again, and we will talk to you later.
Have a good one, sir. Go Hawks.
You too. Go Hawks. Okay, folks, for Avid Mike, I am Hank Jones. This has been our college football weekly show recapping. And in the meantime, you know, have a great Thanksgiving week. You know, this is a time when we are thankful for what we have, or even just to have the struggles and be able to face them. I wish you a great week, a great Thanksgiving, and be thankful. I'll send you out with this. Hey, folks, before I go, again, have a happy Thanksgiving. Don't forget the Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al this Monday, tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time. I'll be in Wednesday, Hank Jones Poly Sports also at 6 p.m. Eastern time. And then Thursday, I'm not sure if Christy will have a show. And then Saturday, Minister Usama Dakduk, assisted by the beautiful Christy, with Revealing the Truth About Islam. Have a great week. Happy Thanksgiving, folks.